This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans, joined by Senior Fun Buns Brandon Funston from The Athletic. Week 6 is nearly in the books, and we're going to get to some primo pickups and what is going to be a hellacious bye week coming up in week 7 with Buffalo, Dallas, Jacksonville, the Chargers, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh all on a one-week siesta. But let's reflect on the week that was, Brandon. Biggest week 6 takeaway for me, and I know you got some choice words to say about this, a lot of people in the zero RB community doing victory laps. Because Darrell Williams went off, couple of touchdowns, top 10 performance. Khalil Herbert, over 100 combined yards, found the end zone. Alex Collins, over 100 yards on the ground in Pittsburgh against that vaunted Steelers front. He flourished. Chuba Hubbard had a nice game as well. Are you suddenly buying into the notion that maybe the zero RB fans could be onto something, or is this just a product of good old-fashioned luck?
Yeah, you know I'm not buying that hogwash. I mean, this has been a better year to be a zero wide receiver person than a zero RB person. When you look at the top 10 wide receivers and you see guys that you could have got in the, you know, fourth round and beyond, and like Deebo Samuel, Marquise Brown, Jamar Chase, Mike Williams. And then you go to the running back side and you look at the top 10. And, you know, outside of getting James Robinson early when Travis Etienne was there, like, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Ezekiel Elliott, Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris, Aaron Jones, Kareem Hunt, DeAndre Swift, James Robinson. Like, again, Kareem Hunt maybe a little bit later, but we know who Kareem Hunt is. And James Robinson without Travis Etienne, we know who he is. These guys are all make sense in the top 10. Right. So, and you talk about all these like backup running backs. They're just part-time guys. You got to go out and spend decent amount of fab money for like 2 and 3 week replacements. What happens in week 8 after you've done this, you know, 3 or 4 times? You're out of money. You don't have any money left.
Right.
And you got these temporary guys that are going away when their incumbents are back. So look, it, you got to get a couple guys that you can hang your hat on. Otherwise you're twisting in the wind and eventually you just snap and you're flying away. You know, it's over.
Yeah. I mean, you're just a kite adrift. And like a Category 5 hurricane. So have fun with that as you're getting torn to pieces. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Look, it's called cherry picking. And that's what people usually do to fit their narrative. And I think that's what a lot of people in the zero RB community are adhering to right now, because it's just, yeah, it's all about surviving the injuries and surviving the roster attrition and turnover as a whole. As I've said before, you know, there is 3 parts of the fantasy football equation, right? It's the draft, that's 1/3. It's trades and transactions, that's the other third. And then the last third is just luck. And again, it's that survival method. So, you know, right now, I think you're spot on here. You know, chances are, unless you had tremendous foresight, like, oh, I saw CH, you know, getting rolled up on. He was going to be on this show for a while. Oh, I saw that Dave Montgomery was going to get hurt. Oh, and guess what? Damian Williams is going to catch COVID. Oh, you know what? I saw in my crystal ball that Christian McCaffrey would be on IR and miss an extended period of time. And two, you know, Chris Carson, yeah, I had that neck injury. Who didn't see that coming? I mean, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, again, unless you're the guy that, like, drafted Tony Pollard late and took Leonard Fournette instead of, like, a Gus Edwards or a David Johnson.
Yep.
And then you picked up Cordarrelle Patterson in week 1. Unless you're that guy, you're not doing victory laps.
No, you're not. And that's what makes fantasy football great. It's unpredictable, Brandon, and that's what drives the conversation for little podcasts like this one. With that, let's get to it with the Fantasy 5.
Number 5.
All right, as we always do here earlier in the week, we need to focus on trying to plug some of those holes and gaps, whether due to bye weeks or whether due to the injury imp and his menacing bite. So let's start off with some quarterback options that you may be willing to stream. So out of this trio, tell me which one would you rather have at the top of your list? Again, with no Josh Allen, no Dak, no Trevor Lawrence, no Justin Herbert, no Kirk Cousins, and I guess Ben Roethlisberger still plays quarterback. But we do have some, you know, 2-quarterback Superflex leagues that are out there, and these guys are unlikely to be available there unless it's super shallow. But anyway, Tell me who you think is the best of this trio. Jameis Winston going up against your Seattle Seahawks, and we got word that Michael Thomas, still a few weeks away from returning. He was originally slated to be eligible to come off of IR, but ain't ready yet physically, coming off that surgically repaired ankle that he had back in July. Teddy Bridgewater, short week. He's not going to have Jerry Jeudy more than likely, but draws Cleveland and a team that's really licking its wounds. We're going to have more on the Browns here a little bit later on the pod. Or do you go with Tua in a matchup at home against Atlanta? Which of those three quarterbacks is at the top of your streaming list?
Tua is, and I've already got a claim in on him and some plans to be using him in a couple leagues. And I would say Matt Ryan coming off the bye is someone that I've seen out there as well. And I would put him number two ahead of the other two guys you mentioned. I just don't like Teddy Bridgewater's matchup going into Cleveland. And then Jameis Winston, like, he's a box of chocolates. You just don't know what you're going to get with him. So right. I feel like Tua, with a little bit of rushing upside as well, but in a great matchup against Atlanta, they give it 11 touchdown passes in five games, only holding the New York quarterbacks out of the end zone. The other quarterbacks went crazy against them. And just one interception, 11-1 touchdown interception ratio. It's a good matchup. I think Miami's going to win this game. I can't believe that they're already 2.5-point underdogs at home against Atlanta. What has Atlanta done to become a road favorite against Miami?
Yeah, that's a head-scratcher. Really puzzling to me. You know what? I think you make a strong case, too. It would be at the top of my list, but let me just go ahead and also state the case for Teddy Bridgewater, because I do like Teddy Two Gloves in Cleveland. We'll see what, you know, the weather allows. You never know. This time of year was a little bit breezy there on Sunday, but Cleveland has come unraveled in the secondary. They all of a sudden are giving up the seventh most fantasy points to single callers in the season, 7.46 pass yards per attempt, 243.7 pass yards per game, and a 14-2 touchdown interception split. You look at Bridgewater, he's QB5 and ADOT right now at 9.7 and QB9 in adjusted completion percentage. You know, Vic Fangio said it's less than a 50% chance that Jerry Jeudy's going to be able to return this week, but he's getting the job done with Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant, who had a big game, and our boy Tim Patrick, who he loves inside the red zone. I think this is going to be a multi-TD game for Teddy Bridgewater, along with maybe 250 yards and, you know, chip an additional 10 to 15 on the ground. So I think he's going to be more than serviceable, but I'm with Brandon. Tua will be a fish out of water.
Number four.
All right, moving on. Let's get a wide receiver in here. Now, let's talk T.Y. Hilton. And here's the latest on T.Y. Hilton at tape time. The organization came out and said he's dealing with a soft tissue issue. Shocking. I know. He comes back. he plays 24 snaps. He looked great, by the way. Four targets, four catches, 80 yards, 16.50 ADOT, and then exit stage left and a blowout win against the Houston Texans. But now he's in with this soft tissue injury, and they're saying, well, we're going to give him 48 hours and see if it calms down. And, you know, if he responds positively to treatment, you know, there's still a shot for him to play this week. So knowing the uncertainty with T.Y. Hilton, but we do know that Paris Campbell suffered a significant foot injury. Another shocker. I'm sure you're floored and jarred by that one. The cupboard's rather bare outside of Michael Pittman and maybe like Mo Alley Cox. I guess Zach Pascal is still there. But if Hilton can get himself right, we get some positive news. You know, is it worth a speculative bid of like maybe $3 to $5 to see if he is healthy enough here these next four games? Because he's at San Francisco, gets Tennessee, gets the Jets and Jacksonville. Some delightful matchups here in the near term.
I think it is just because of the other options at wide receiver. This is not a good week to go out in the, you know, in the pool fishing for a wide receiver. I mean, you're going to go after Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Alan Lazard.
gosh, what was I looking at here? Jamal Agnew. I mean, a former special teamer, a 5'10" or whatever he is. Like, he keeps popping up. I guess we're going to have to talk about him eventually, but we know who T.Y. Hilton is, and he lives in a world of soft tissue questionability, but when he's on the field, we like him. So, and I like Carson Wentz the way he's been looking lately. He's throwing the ball pretty well. So, I would say a 3 to 5 speculative bid if I'm in a tough spot. And again, this is a 16 bye week, so there's going to be people in tough spots this week. I'd be interested in T.Y.
Yeah, there's some bed bugs potentially at the Hilton, but if they could get flushed out in time. Yeah, he could be wide receiver 3 worthy under the primetime lights on Sunday night in San Francisco.
number three.
All right, Brandon, let's move on. And let's talk here a couple of tight ends. You know, a lot of people have needs. A lot of people have multi-flex leagues. So these guys could be plug-and-play options for you. I'm going to give you two options. Ricky Seals-Jones, which I looked up. I don't know if you knew this. Do you know that he's cousins with Eric Dickerson?
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, Eric Dickerson. They're cousins. I had no idea. O.J. Howard is the other one. So let me give you a little background. RSJ here last couple of games, 15 targets, 9 catches, 99 yards, and a TD. Has played at least 59 snaps in those three straight contests. And O.J. Howard, out of cold storage with Gronk Shelv. We have no idea when he's going to be back. 7 targets, 6 catches, 49 yards, and a TD in Philadelphia. As O.J. and Tampa get Chicago at home this week. And the Bears really struggled defending the tight end at times this year, although they looked pretty good last week against Robert Tonyan. But RSJ and the Fighting Footballs, speaking of the Packers, that's who they get on the road this week up there in Lambeau. So, you know, give me your thoughts on RSJ and O.J. Howard, any kind of fab bid for either one of these guys.
I'm going to go Ricky Seals as my favorite of the two. I feel like Gronk, who was the talk was that he was getting close last week for the Thursday night game. I feel like there's a chance he could play against Chicago in week 7. But if not in week 7, then probably week 8. So I think Ricky Seals-Jones, who each time I watch this guy, he's getting targeted in the end zone. It's not always working out for him, but sometimes it is. He's basically taking the Logan Thomas role. So, and he's being used like that. So I like Ricky Seals-Jones. I would bid a little bit more on him than OJ Howard. I don't think OJ has quite as long a staying power as Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you there because we, you know, due to the uncertainty with Gronk, we have no idea when he's going to be back. I do like RSJ because Thomas is IR'd and he's been impressive and Taylor Heinicke has trust in him. It's very evident based on the, you know, again, 15 targets he's had the last couple of games. Very appreciable too, 6.92 yak per reception, averaging 11.42 yards per catch. And the next couple of games, you're at Green Bay, you get Denver, then you get the bye week. And maybe Logan Thomas can come back off that hamstring injury after the 1 week siesta. But if you're looking for a plug and play option, again, desperate times call for desperate measures. So $3 to $5 at RSJ.
Number two.
All right, Brandon, let's talk the rookie wide receiver at the University of Minnesota, that former Golden Gopher, Rashad Bateman. There was a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement in Baltimore and in the fantasy community for him to make his season debut. And he came out and contributed some meaningful numbers. May not have really showed up in the box score, but played 45 snaps, had 6 targets, 4 catches, 29 yards against the Chargers, an unfriendly foe. You get Cincinnati this upcoming week. You know, Bengals rank middle of the pack in terms of most yards allowed at the wide receiver position. Then after that, you get the bye. Then you get Minnesota. We just learned that Patrick Peterson is on injured reserve with a hamstring injury. And then you get Miami, and they have been just crushed by injuries to Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. Maybe they're getting healthy a few weeks down the road. But right now, a phenomenal on-paper matchup. Are you excited about Bateman? If you are, how much are you willing to spend?
I'll tell you, like, if T.Y. Hilton was 100% healthy, I'd be more excited about T.Y. Hilton than Bateman. I like Bateman's talent. And I think this Baltimore Ravens passing game is much better than I expected them to be. I know they made a concerted effort to make it this way. And Lamar Jackson's looking good most of the time. Still a couple bad throws here and there. But for the most part, he's looking really good. But I think Bateman's going to have a hard time cracking the top two of this passing game right now. I think it's Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown. And so as the number three option in a, you know, I don't think I'm at the point where I'm ready to trust this Ravens passing game week in and week out, especially the number three option there. So I'd probably rank it T.Y. Hilton ahead of Rashad Bateman, but it might be somebody I would be willing to put a contingency bid in if I was going after T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, and look, if you're in dire need of a wide receiver, like $7-$11, I think at a 12-team league for Rashad Bateman, it seems fair to me. And you're right. It's going to be up and down. It's going to be wildly unpredictable because this is still an offense that's predicated on the ground. Lamar Jackson's dynamic duality, but he will have his moments. And I loved his tape at Minnesota. Guy was getting consistent separation, had very reliable hands, ran sharp, precise routes. And, you know, he got a little taste of that against the Chargers last week. So ton of upside there for Bateman, a guy that could make some noise later on this season down the home stretch.
number one.
All right, let's go to Cleveland. Let's try to figure out this stupid damn mess at running back. You know, we're hearing that Ronald Jones could be on the trade block. We knew that Marlon Mack was. And, you know, if there are some long-term injuries here, we know it is for Kareem Hunt. Is going to go on short-term IR. So he's out for a minimum of 3 weeks. We'll see about Nick Chubb and if he can get back on the field on Thursday. But as it stands now, and again, knowing how foggy this situation is, but you got the short week with Denver coming to town, what do you do with D'Ernest Johnson and Demetric Felton? What's the bid here for either one of those guys?
Yeah, I was just looking up. It's Zeke, it's Dalvin Cook, it's Najee Harris, it's Austin Eckler, James Robinson, and Zach Moss, all guys that are, I believe, top 20, or Zach Moss is maybe a little bit outside of that, but at the running back position. So, yeah, one game of D'Ernest Johnson, if he's the guy, you have to go after that. I mean, I'm going to be interested in that for one game. I know I have lots of Zeke, and I'm having a hard time, you know, putting out a serviceable lineup. So, yeah. D'Ernest Johnson for a week 7 plug and play, I don't know if you can go more than 10, but you're hoping to get it, and you might have to a little bit overpay just to make sure you can get viability this week. So interested there for sure. If I was playing the long game, I might be more interested in somebody like a Ramondre Stevenson, because I think he's starting to, you know, you put the pot on boil and you see those little tiny bubbles that start.
Yeah.
And before it get the full on boil, I feel like Ramondre Stevenson is going to elevate himself into like a 60-40 or 65-35 split with Damian Harris. And that's a backfield and a team that probably wants to run like a Cleveland style, where they're running a lot and playing good defense and minimizing the volume of their rookie quarterback.
Well, the other thing that really stood out with Ramondre Stevenson for me is the fact that he was catching balls.
3 for 39. If he's going to be the guy on like the third down guy, yeah, we're absolutely in on that. And he could be the goal line guy. They pulled Damian Harris after a couple runs. He might've been tired, but you know, that should have been Damian Harris's touchdown that Ramondre Stevenson got. He just came in and plowed it in there. So we've seen Belichick lean on like a LeGarrette Blount type, which he's been compared to. And like, it's just a straight goal line role as well. It could be the scavenger there.
Yeah. Well, and you get the Jets this week too at home. So, you know, a lot of appeal there for Ramondre Stevenson. So if he's still available, and I know we featured him on the pod, I think last week, you know, I'd be throwing out probably 10 to 15 bucks, and it's probably going to take every bit of that to get D'Ernest Johnson. And if Nick Chubb and maybe they, you know, rested him for precautionary reasons, knowing they were going to have the short week, and he can come out and play and get his customary, you know, 20 plus touches. If that is the case, you know, Johnson can maybe slide into Kareem Hunt's prior role, get around 7 to 10 touches, but that's not worth 10 to 15. I mean, it's just so unpredictable right now what's going to happen in Cleveland. And the matchup's not great either, as Denver's allowed just 3.75 yards per carry and the 7th fewest fantasy points at the running back position. Though Johnson on 33 rush attempts last season, a laudable 3.00 yak per attempt. So listen, moral of the story is this. If you want to spend $10 to $15 on a running back, go get Ramondre Stevenson first. And I think your contingency then is D'Ernest Johnson. But somebody's likely, probably that Kareem Hunt backer or Nick Chubb backer as well, going to slap the wall a little bit harder as a result. All right, before we get out of here, Brandon, real quick, you know, let's talk Washington, because Antonio Gibson underwent an MRI. He may miss some time, according to the coaching staff. We don't know as of yet. J.D. McKissick's over 50% rostered right now in Yahoo leagues. So he's only for the real shallow-minded that's out there. Jared Patterson, somebody of interest. Rashad Penny as well, somebody of interest, as Pete Carroll came out and said a broken butt cheek is essentially what Alex Collins had. It was a glued slash hip. But Penny is coming off of IR this week. We know that Chris Carson is on injured reserve. You do have a little bit of extra rest here because it's a Monday night game against New Orleans, though it is a you know, pretty bleak matchup because the Saints have bottled up the running back position. But Patterson, Penny, just your general thoughts on those two guys. Again, if you're really seeking some running back assistance in this hellish bye week.
Yeah, the thing that kind of gets me not too excited about Patterson is that I think McKissick, you know, he's talked about bulking up to be the main carry. He would be. So Patterson probably is in a complimentary role. And this week against Green Bay, that might seem okay. But then you get at Denver, bye week, Tampa Bay, at Carolina. That's not a great next month, you know. And at some point, Antonio Gibson's coming back anyway. So I don't know how much of an opportunity Jared Patterson's going to have to show well. Rashad Penny, if he's paired to Alex Collins – I can see that end up being like a straight platoon, like a 50-50 almost, where Collins is their guy between tackles, but Rashad Penny with his speed working to the edges and probably working more in the passing game. So if I'm breaking down the two, I might just go ahead and just play the more of the lottery ticket in Rashad Penny.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and he's saying this as objectively as possible, folks. It's a Seattle guy.
You know me. I reverse jinx. I'm negative about Seattle probably more than most.
Well, I've always liked Rashad Penny when he's been healthy, and he has shown flashes of being an explosive running back, you know, and of course at San Diego State, he was breaking like Marshall Faulk's records. So, I mean, guy's got talent, just not been able to stay healthy. So, yeah, Penny's a guy, you know, worth $7 and $11. Patterson, you know, I'd probably be a little bit lower on, but that, of course, means you didn't get Stevenson or D'Ernest Johnson. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast. Please follow Funson on Twitter at Brandon Funson. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Please drop us a rating and a review. It helps out our little program tremendously. And as always, until next time, adios, amigos!